Welcome to this very special edition of the KJ Masterclass Live, the show which ensures that you profit from your time spent here with experts, either through the industry insights, information, or simply learning from them. And today we have William Cohen. He is a master in helping to build successful careers. He's an author of Building a Winning Career, and he has over 30 years experience in senior management positions. He has held CEO and board chairman roles in public and private companies and in not-for-profit organizations. He has served as an advisor to boards and chief executives worldwide. In addition to his executive roles, William has provided career coaching to over 1,000 senior executives across the globe. He has successfully helped individuals from every industry, providing them with consulting advice related to their future careers. He is passionate about helping his clients, whether they are graduates or senior executives, to build winning careers. He has structured and formalized his coaching process and has set this process out in his book, which is now selling worldwide. 175 plus five-star reviews, first, number one bestseller on Amazon. Seriously, it's a Building a Winning Career. Welcome to the show, William.
Thank you, AJ. It's a lovely introduction. I very much appreciate it.
Thank you. You are welcome to the show. And this introduction is all yours. This is about all your achievements. But if I get down to talking about just your achievements, this show will take a lot of time, from McKinsey to lot many places. So we will right now talk about, how one can build a winning career. And that is what. So first, to understand from you, William, is that what is a winning career, if we can understand for the audience?
Is very personal. It depends all about what you want to achieve in life and your family as well. It's not becoming chief executive necessarily. It sounds like it. You have to be very important, but no, a winning career is really, can you thrive and can your family thrive? And can you look back and say, I've had a very good career and I'm extremely pleased with what I've achieved and what I've been able to contribute as well.
Right, William. So what does, having a successful career look like? How can one plan a winning career for themselves? And that is where, help us understand from three different perspectives. One is somebody who is just starting out, someone who is mid-career. So they don't know whether they have done well or they want to make any transitions at that point in time. And third is people who are 50 plus and they need to work, they want to work. How do they take their career forward and make it a winning career if they have not had till now? So help us understand from three different perspectives so that, everyone can benefit.
Yes, well, each perspective is totally different, of course. A university student or a young professional or just a young person starting out in their career is going to have a totally different set of experiences. I think our fathers and grandfathers probably had one or two jobs in their whole life. Now people are expecting you to have a new job every 3 or 4 years. So it's the question is, how do you get from one to another? That's one reason why I wrote the book, actually, that people talk about having lots of jobs, but they don't tell you how to progress from one to the other. And most people are not well prepared. But a young person, there's a couple of underlying themes. One is we want you to be able to contribute, make a difference, and we want people to let you make a difference. We want you to be able to fulfill your values, not to be in a place where you're uncomfortable with other people's values. We want you to have a job which takes you somewhere where you're not going to hit a dead end in 2 or 3 years. We want your family to be successful as well. And in the end, we want you to be able to earn sufficient money. So when you're starting out, of course, it's very new. You probably don't have a family. You're probably much more flexible. So you're able to look at lots of options. And what I would like people to do is aim high and try to see what options they've got. Too many people are very passive. They just take the first job they can get there that they can find. I want you to try to understand what options are available. And that's true mid-career as well, particularly if you've lost your job. The difficulty is that most people don't prepare well enough. They've got a great story to tell. Everyone in some way is a winner, but they've got to be able to explain what that means. And most people are too passive. They don't really prepare. If you think of someone who's going to sing in a concert, in a competition, they need to understand what to sing. They need to understand how to sing it. They need to know how to perform on stage. They need to impress the judges. But most people, even though it's a similar kind of process in mid-career or later career, don't do enough work to impress the judges. They assume they can wing it. They assume they can more or less work it out as they go along, as long as they're decent people and authentic. And what I explain in my book is it's actually a lot more to it than that. You have to be very well prepared. Most people don't prepare well enough. Most people don't test their thinking well enough. Most people don't get enough help. Most people go into interviews without really doing the homework they should be doing or understanding how to handle an interview. So most people are not well prepared. That's why I wrote the book, really, because as far as I'm aware, there's no other book that sort of takes you through that whole process.
Absolutely. Absolutely. William, you talk about, you know, that your book is more relevant and beneficial to those building their careers than the established careers. And in that, you also talk about your process. So help us understand this part, especially people would be interested in knowing the process if they can follow it almost like a step-by-step process.
Well, the process at one level sounds very simple, but it's not as simple as it sounds. The first thing is to work out what makes you special. And most people can't explain what makes them special, and they make it up. And they might take much too long to talk about all the things that they can think about. Really, we want if you can explain what makes you special in a few words, in a few minutes, you are already special, because not many people can do that. The next step is to try to figure out, where should I be exploring? Because you can't just meander around. You need to think, in my view, you need to have three different areas to explore that you can explain to people. I'm interested in these areas and I want to explore them. And I want to meet people in them, and I want to understand what is going on and what makes businesses and organizations successful in that area. The third step is really to prepare for meeting people, because 80% of jobs come from your network. So the big thing that you need to do is expand your network. And it's very soul-destroying applying for jobs online to various websites. What we need to do is have people in our network who are helping us. So how do we prepare for that? Well, we need to understand how to handle meetings, how to meet people, and what to say in the meeting. Then we need to understand how to encourage them to help us in some way. And part of my process is ask for advice and you'll get a job. Ask for a job and you'll get advice. So you never ask for a job. It sounds counterintuitive, but when you ask for a job, people freeze up. They don't know how to help you. How could I help you find a job? I don't know enough about you. I don't know what you can do. So how do you prepare for these meetings? That's very, very important. In writing, do you have a document? The problem with CVs and resumes is that they are risk management documents for recruiters. They're not really selling documents. They don't promote you. They don't show you're a leader. I want you to be a leader. I want you to be someone who's had impact. I want you to be able to talk about what difference have you made. I want you to be able to talk about your judgment and how you have got good judgment, and also the fact that you've got energy. So if you've got those four things, I think you're very attractive. Everyone will want to talk to you at some level. But most people don't sort of think about the problem that way. And then at the end of the meeting with someone, can you get them to introduce you to some other people who might be more in the zone you're looking for? Because everyone's got big networks. And even if you're a university student, you should be trying to build your network. And it sounds, some people think it's a bit grubby building your network. But if you think of it as building personal relationships, then that's what you're trying to do. You're trying to expand your network of relationships. And you'll be simply amazed if you ask for help, how much help they'll give you. The next is to actually meet people and then to have interviews. And how do you handle interviews? Most people are too passive in interviews as well. They don't take the lead. I prefer you to start asking questions at the beginning of the interview to find out what the real job is and how you can contribute, rather than waiting to the end when they've asked you a bunch of questions. So I want you to initiate the questions in the interview. This is quite uncomfortable for a lot of people until they get used to it. And then finally, this is a bit like farming. So you're sowing seeds, and a number of seeds could come up. It's not infrequent that people get two or three job offers. And then the question is, which one should I accept? And quite often the job you don't want is offered first. So how do you sort of keep that warm and use it to accelerate the other offers? And then finally, how do you prepare to start the new job so that you're going to be successful? How do you hit the ground running? So that's the whole process. It sounds quite complicated, and it is quite complicated, really, when you do it well, but the results are fantastic. And it's one reason why it's taken me 380 pages to write about it. It's not a trivial process. Unfortunately, most people treat it, they don't treat it with enough energy and action and preparation and testing. Does that explain what I tried to do?
Yes, indeed, William. I thought you were adding something more. So I was listening to all those things, you know, because it's going to be very helpful for anyone who listens, especially people who are looking at roles, but even for people like me, it is very helpful when you are talking to different people at different point in time, either for any sort of a business meeting or even for interviews. You know, all this thing is very helpful. And I want to understand, these are some of the aspects. What else have you dealt with in your book, 380 pages? Help us understand, you know, so that people, and who is this book exactly for?
Well, as you might know, books, when you get help writing a book, they want you to target a particular audience or even a particular individual. They don't want you to try to spread yourself too thin. So I've really targeted middle career executives. But the life skills involved are actually valid for everyone. And the weird thing is that universities and schools do not teach these life skills. The need to build a network, the need to build warm relationships. One of the things I talk about is you can make a great movie and you will not win an Oscar. Why? Because you've got to get votes for your movie from the Academy in Hollywood. You're the same. If you want to get a new role, you've got to have people vote for you. Could be the HR director, it could be chief executive, it could be recruiter, but you need votes. Now, how do you get votes? Well, it's not the same as doing a good job. People think if they've done a good job that they'll be good at finding a job. That's not necessarily true. And it's quite often the reverse. The highest performers have never had to look for a job. They've always been sort of offered jobs. But now, if they're looking for a role, they have to generate votes. And you do that by building warm connections, which has got very little to do with how good you are at your job. It's all about interpersonal relations. And can you build an emotional connection with people? Can you bring them with you? Do they want to help you? Do they respect you? That sort of thing. So it's a different process, which a lot of people don't understand. They assume if they're very, very good at their job, it'll be easier to find a job. I don't think that's right. It's oddly enough, there's some work done that shows that only 10% of the progress you make in your career will be as a result of your technical skills. 30% will be a result of your brand, your personal brand, how you present yourself, your values, and so on. And 60% will be dependent on who is out there helping you, who's in your network. And that's pretty staggering, really. And I think at university, they teach you all about how to be proficient. They don't teach you all about how to build your network and how to present your brand.
Right. Right, William. You know about these things well. You have been into very high positions, and you know what exactly you are looking for in a candidate. In terms of a candidate himself or herself, when they are looking for a job and there are, roles available for them, what are, you talk about five elements to consider when evaluating a new role. What are these one can look at? Sometimes it can be a problem of plenty. Sometimes it can be, what is the way to evaluate a role that has just come up for you?
Well, I think your evaluation is the five things that I spoke about. Values, can you make a big difference? Will they let you, by the way? You might be able to make a huge difference, but people in the business won't let you. They don't have the risk appetite or the money, or they don't trust you enough yet. Where's it leading? How's it treat your how's your family going to? We don't want you traveling, three or four weeks a month. And then finally, will you be paid enough? But oddly enough, the people evaluating you will be looking at five different things. They'll be looking at, do they trust you? And that's why this warm connection is important. If you're introduced by someone, you're more likely to be trusted than if you're just a name on a list. Because that, if they trust the individual who's introduced you, then they will trust you. So that's a huge step up. That's why networking is so important and having a network that helps you. The second thing is, can you do the job? Now, the surprising thing is that most job descriptions don't describe the job. They tell you the functional skills you need, but they're sort of the shop window. They don't show you that you're going to be working in the basement and it's flooded, that your conditions are going to be terrible and the clients are upset and they don't have enough money and so on. So your job is to find out what is the real job and can I contribute there and do I want to, by the way. The third thing is, do you fit? The issue, people don't want to work with someone they don't like, so it's going to be pretty important that they like you and will they want to go to work with you every day. So fit, and the more senior you become, the more important fit is. So they'll be assuming you can do the job pretty much, I think, as for senior people, but do I want to work with this person? Do I like their style? Do I like the way they operate? Do they seem to be the kind of person I would like to work with? That's vital. The fourth thing is, are you enthusiastic about the job? You don't want to hire someone who's not enthusiastic about the job. But the problem is, I don't want you to be too enthusiastic. I want you to be a reluctant bride. I like the idea of this job very much, but I need to understand more about it. So that's really important. And then finally, they want to look good when they hire you. There's nothing worse than hiring someone who doesn't turn out well, because it reflects on your ability and your judgment. So the fifth thing that the hiring people will be thinking about is, do I look good when I make this offer to this individual? So there's very different things depending on whether you're looking from your direction or you're looking from the organization's direction.
Right. Right, William. Now let's look at it from the other side. A few of the points you've already mentioned, maybe there'll be a bit of an overlap, but in terms of how should I know, or what should I know about, what the hiring teams and recruiters are looking for when they are interviewing me? I know what I want. How do I know what they want? How should I look at that part, get into their minds?
Well, that's, you need to ask them. And most people don't. That's the scary part. I would say you should never apply for a job until you've spoken to the recruiter or the hiring manager and ask, what is the job and would I be suitable? And that has two big advantages. One is you build some relationship immediately before you apply, and they will remember you, if particularly if you've asked good questions and explored what is the job really involved. And then the other advantage is when you actually apply, they will look out for your application. And you'll have a much better application because you'll on the cover letter, you'll explain how you can make a difference in this role. And you won't be making it up. You will have learned from them before you apply. So many people write cover letters and they're not worth reading. In fact, I believe only half cover letters are read by recruiters. So, and one of the reasons is they don't make any sense. They don't know exactly what the job is, what the challenges are. Am I appropriate to meet those challenges? Do I want to meet them? You know, am I enthusiastic about this job? So it's surprising. People don't ask for much help in this game, and yet it's an obvious thing they should be doing. They should be asking for help from the recruiter, from the hiring manager if they can, and from people who are close to them to tell them about what makes them special, because most people don't know what makes them special, which is another difficulty that they face. And we must be able to explain what makes us special.
Absolutely. Absolutely, William. There are so many nuggets, golden nuggets, you know, of wisdom in this interview. In the book, there are 380 pages of wisdom. But in case, you know, someone, one single aspect, most important of job search process, that should occupy one's time and attention, what would you tell that as?
Well, I think you need to understand that there is a process that works. I'm proud of the fact that this process works. The difficulty with it is that we can't predict in advance how long it will take. But if you go through the steps in this process, you are likely to be much more successful than if you make it up as you go along. So the underlying story is there is a process. It's worth understanding what the process is. Many people have used it. People ask me, how successful have I been with my candidates? And I can say that every one of them has got a job. So over 1,000 people have got jobs. Now, some of them took longer than others, but it's not like we're working with people who won't get jobs again. This process is very powerful, but it's a bit like learning to ski. You read my book, and if you read a ski book, you can't ski at the end of the book. You can read how you're meant to ski. In my book, you can understand the process, but you actually probably need a friend or someone who cares about you or someone you know who's a more senior or a mentor or a guide to help you sort of frame your description of yourself, what makes you special, helps you with the setbacks, because there are definitely setbacks in the process. You think you're lined up for a job, and then suddenly you're told you're not. You're not going to be accepted or progressed. So it's a process that's not comfortable for a lot of people looking for jobs. But if you do it right, the chances are you'll get a good result.
Absolutely, absolutely. There is much to learn about all these things, you know, Bill. Not just in your book, not just in your what you call interview in this podcast, but a lot of people can learn directly from you. So how can they get in touch with you if they want to learn more from you? And also, you know, what is the best way for them to connect with you if they want to do so professionally?
Well, I have a website, www.buildingawinningcareer, one word, .com. So they can, if they want to send me a message through that, they can do that. That's the best way. And they can also, if they want a book, they can go to Amazon, or they can get an ebook from Amazon as well. So it's the easiest to go through Amazon. But the book itself is, I think the ebook is very readable. And I mean, a lot of people have bought the ebook, and it's relatively inexpensive. The book itself, some people love books. Some people want to turn pages and mark up the book. So they're the, they can buy the book on Amazon, and it's a miracle, but it gets delivered literally in a couple of days.
Absolutely, absolutely. Bill, the book is a success bestseller, 175 plus five-star reviews. And if you can, you know, show to the audience what does what this book looks like, as we you must be having.
Here's the book. So
wonderful.
That's it. The feedback is it's very easy to read. It's simple and clear. So, and I've used a lot of stories from people I've worked with. It's not just checklists and tables. It's more personal than that. What seems to work? What doesn't work? What's surprising? What seems obvious but doesn't turn out to be the right answer? That sort of thing. So, I tried to use stories to explain how you can do better.
Absolutely, absolutely. On a winning note about building a winning career, it's a wrap on this very special edition of the KJ Masterclass Live. Thank you so much indeed for joining us.
Thank you very much, AJ. It was a pleasure being able to try to respond to your questions. I hope I did a good job. I'll see you.
Indeed, indeed.